I don't want to say it doesn't matter that FCPA enforcement is on pause, but for a lot of large companies, it doesn't matter. You've got bigger compliance issues and internal anti-fraud concerns that are going to keep operating as usual, regardless of Trump deciding to put pause on this.
Hello and welcome to Off the Books, where we surf the uncharted waters of accounting, finance, risk, and wherever else the waves take us. This episode is brought to you by Workiva, the only platform to bring financial reporting, sustainability, audit, and risk teams together so you can deliver assured, integrated reporting. That's when you bring financial and non-financial data together so it's ready for assurance. It's like when a chef skillfully brings eggs and sugar and butter and flour together to be ready to put in the oven to become a delicious batch of cookies. My name is Steve Soder, accounting enthusiast and Diet Coke aficionado. Looking forward to debuting a great conversation, and I'm so happy to have you surfing along with us. Also very happy to be joined by Catherine Tsai. Catherine, do you want to introduce yourself for the audience?
Sure. I'm Catherine Tsai, professional asker of questions, and I like to drink venti soy chais. And Steve, what are we cooking up in today's episode?
Well, we are cooking up what was not unexpected. I have no idea. Anyway, there's this thing out there called the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which basically keeps people from doing shady stuff out in the market, up to and including paying foreign bribes, which for companies outside the United States is fairly common practice, but for a long time has not been common in the United States. And the White House pressed pause. So we've brought in Matt Kelly, editor of Radical Compliance, who's been talking a lot about it, to get us up to date. Matt, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Steve and Catherine. It's great to be here with you again.
So to start off, can you set the stage for us and tell us a little bit more about what happened with the FCPA?
Sure. So Steve is right that what happened here is not really a surprise, but several weeks ago now, the president, Donald Trump, he announced through executive order that he was putting pause on enforcement of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. Just a few days before that, the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, when she took office, she had already said that she was going to reorient enforcement of the FCPA away from enforcement against corporate bribery, where a company might pay a bribe of some kind to a foreign government official. And that's an important distinction. As you pay the bribe to a person, it is not illegal to pay money to a foreign government to do something. This is where you are bribing a government official basically to fix a contract for you and to win business. So the FCPA has one part, the criminal part from the Justice Department. That's just what I described. And then it also has the civil part, the books and records provisions of the FCPA, which is enforced by the Securities and Exchange Commission. And that's probably more well-known to a lot of internal audit and SOX compliance people, but you need to have effective internal controls to be able to identify where these bribes might be happening. And also, it is illegal just to do it. But what happened then was that, A, the Attorney General, PM Bondi, said we're going to step back from enforcing against corporate bribery. And then, B, several days later, President Trump stepped in and said we are going to pause enforcement of the FCPA for at least 6 months, possibly as long as a year, while the Justice Department reviews all past enforcement actions, comes up with new guidance about how the law will be enforced in the future. And really, the expectation here is that I think enforcement is probably going to be few and far between for quite a while.
Matt, so many questions here. And anyway, try to keep this focused since, you know, we don't have like the 3 hours that it would probably take to properly digest this. What's the immediate impact? I mean, is this just like complete open season for fraud, such as paying bribes?
Well, no, it's not. And in fact, that's really important for listeners to understand is what the president said was that enforcement of the FCPA is now on pause. He did not say there's no FCPA anymore. He can't say that. Only Congress can repeal the statute of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. So they're not going to, because this is Congress and they can't really get anything done without massive undertaking and planning. But, you know, they're going to leave the FCPA on the books. So the dilemma for corporations right now is that you might think, well, I'm not going to get enforced, so I guess maybe I could pay that bribe to the assistant minister of whatever or give a donation to his brother-in-law's charity so I can win business. Would you then get caught? Maybe. Would you then face some sort of punishment? Well, under the Trump administration, probably not. But remember, you've still broken the law, and that is not something you can just wish away. Eventually, we could have a different administration in power that will take a different view of things and say, well, you did break the law way back in 2025, and it's still under the statute of limitations today, and that's 5 years for most violations, so that's at least into 2030. Trump will be leaving office by 2029. So then maybe a different administration is going to say, now we're enforcing it. And then at that moment, your decision today to think, hey, now I can bribe anybody I want because they're never going to bust my chops, that would be a terrible decision in hindsight. So for a lot of large companies, especially global businesses, you know, you take this as a green light to commit bribery at your own peril. And I've even seen legal bulletins from law firms that flat out said, this is the headline, no, you can't commit bribery. Because you're still breaking the law. And that is going to be a risk that you, the company, would have to deal with and live with. And so there's still going to be a lot of peril in taking this as the green light to go and commit bribes.
Longer term, then, how do you see this playing out?
Well, there's a couple of things that companies should keep in mind. Is that, number one, it is still possible that FCPA prosecutions might resume, because Trump did only say we're pausing it for 6 months, up to a year, while the attorney general comes up with new prosecution rules. I could easily see a scenario where a year or 2 years from now, Trump says we are going to bring back FCPA prosecutions, but, you know, he's going to want to weaponize that, maybe against companies in foreign countries such as Iran or Venezuela, that he wants leverage over them to do something as a favor for him. He might want foreign country X to accept more immigrants in deportation. And they say, no, they say, fine, I'm going to bring FCPA charges against every foreign company in your country that has business on the U.S. stock exchange. So there's always the possibility that this might come back. Number two, if you're a global company, at this point, you still have a lot of other anti-corruption statutes in other countries around the world. I'll give you an example. As I talked with a compliance officer at a large British company, trades on the U.S. stock exchange and in London and does a lot of business here. And I asked this compliance officer, what do you think of this? And they said, I don't care. I still have to have an anti-corruption compliance program, because if I don't, the regulators in London might then take action against me. And then C, I would just remind everybody that the anti-corruption compliance program you have really overlaps a lot with anti-fraud programs generally. And fraud is still going to be a thing that you don't want at your company. If I can give you one quick example. So right here in Boston, where I live, we had a large pharmaceutical company last year. An employee decided she was going to run an embezzlement scheme against her employer. So she and her fiance set up a fake consulting business. The fiance sent fake invoices, which she then paid out with fake documentation, and they embezzled millions of dollars. And they eventually got found out. They got fired. She got fired. They got indicted, convicted at trial, sent to prison, and their engagement was also called off. But at the end, when you really think about it, what they did was an FCPA scam in all but name. If this fiancé of hers had been a foreign government official, this would have been an FCPA thing. So a lot of the internal controls you have, a lot of the policies, the documentation requests and requirements, and the muscle memory of investigating, who cares that it's about foreign corruption versus an embezzlement scheme? It's all the same sort of stuff that you need for good internal controls. So are you really just going to torpedo your anti-fraud program generally because you might not get caught bribing some assistant minister of wherever, which might not even be true? We might all find out in 2030 for a very rude awakening that we were all wrong. Like, in a lot of ways, I don't want to say it doesn't matter that FCPA enforcement is on pause, but for a lot of large companies, it doesn't matter. You've got bigger compliance issues and internal anti-fraud concerns that are going to keep operating as usual, regardless of Trump deciding to put pause on this.
So we still need internal controls teams.
Yes, absolutely you do. And, you know, again, if you just play it out, like, are we really going to say that, are we going to amend our code of conduct to say now you can bribe government officials? No, no company is going to do that. Maybe if you find an incident of foreign corruption, you would not necessarily call up your big law firm that is going to have a partner charging you $2,200 an hour to investigate it for 9 months and cost millions of dollars. That might not happen, but you absolutely would still want to know, we have this report of corruption in our emerging markets division. Well, is that true or is it not true? If it is true, how did that happen? Didn't we have internal controls to stop it? How come they didn't work? So a lot of the mechanics of how you would root all this out, you're still going to need those capabilities. That's not going to change just because the law's enforcement is on pause.
Stay ahead of emerging risks. With Workiva, you can collaborate in real time, increase stakeholder trust, and gain invaluable oversight. Plus, you can connect your GRC processes directly with ESG and financial reporting, all in the same secure platform. Seriously. Discover how just about everyone can work hand in hand. Yes, even external audit at workiva.com/GRC. That's workiva.com/GRC. Workiva, where your most important audit and risk work comes together.
Well, Matt, you're writing on this, and I know I gush over radical compliance for the audience, but I mean, like, it was really, really good. And it actually, as I was thinking it through and playing it out, just as you said, it actually got me to the same point. Let's assume somebody does decide, okay, it's a really big contract, it's really important, this bribe's going to solve everything, okay, whatever, they pay the bribe. That still goes through the process of internal controls or financial reporting, and then you can get in this position where, like, okay, well, then do you have a effectiveness issue that your controls weren't being effective, and then could you end up having all sorts of downstream impacts that actually had nothing to do with the FCPA? It had everything to do with what you're doing internally, and then you end up almost ending in kind of a worse place because your internal controls weren't effective. I mean, it just... I was trying to think of like how this could actually end up playing out to where like, okay, this is going to be fine. But like you really can't get there under any scenario. And anyway, just the way that you've described it in the writing kind of like got me there. And I thought, okay, you know, take a deep breath. This is not like the end of the world.
No, but you raise a really good point about the internal controls, because so far all of the sexy headline stuff has been all about the criminal part with the Justice Department and paying the bribes. But number one, the executive order that Trump issued did not talk about the Securities and Exchange Commission and the internal control provisions, which are there by statute in the Exchange Act. They're now baked in there. So those are not going away. Yeah, you know, you still must have effective internal control over financial reporting. And you're absolutely right that, you know, do I think the SEC is still going to go hog wild enforcing books and records? Probably not. They're probably going to take a very light touch to the FCPA anyways, just like the Justice Department. However, to your point, you know, if you have corruption and bribery payments happening left and right, you have a bad set of internal controls. And, you know, if you've got them one way, then suddenly people are going to wonder, well, do you have bad internal controls other ways? And they might think of examples like the embezzlement scheme I mentioned a few minutes ago. And it becomes a big mess. So, you know, it sounds corny to say effective internal controls are their own reward, but really they are. And a lot of it just is not going to go away because the risk of enforcement is on deep freeze. And that is true for the FCPA. It's true for a lot of other regulatory issues beyond the scope of what we're talking about now, but just because we are not enforcing a law for the next 2 or 3 or 4 years, the law is still there. If you break it, you've still broken it. It could come back to bite you in the rear end in all sorts of ways. And the way you're talking about it right now with internal controls might be a very different, bigger problem that was, you know, the FCPA issue lit the fuse, but like it's still going to blow up. So you still want to stomp everything out.
Well, anything else you'd want to share with us, Matt, that we haven't asked?
I mean, I just think that, you know, you should keep in mind a couple of the other reasons. Like, I could see arguments the internal auditor or compliance professional would need to re-emphasize or make to employees now that FCPA enforcement is on pause. You know, that number one, actually paying bribes is not going to help you. We should remember now that the rest of the world has also seen this news. So a lot of corrupt government officials around the world are now all going to think they can now hit up your company for bribery. It was easier before this executive order to say, I can't do it. It's against the law in my country, no matter what. And now they're going to say, well, you know, is it really? So why don't you do me this thing and give me the bag full of cash? You're going to have that problem. But corruption is not a way to win good business. Corruption, I liken it to, you know, feeling good by shooting heroin. Feels great the first time you do it, or so I've been told. But, you know, the second and third and fourth time you shoot heroin, you do not feel good. And eventually you get addicted and you have to do it, but you still feel like crap. That is what a corrupt business is like. And if corruption was good for business, the world would be run by Russian businesses, and they're not. So, I mean, you have to think about that. Second, a contract or a business deal that is won through corruption, if that comes to light, the business deal is no longer legally enforceable. So plenty of others could come in and challenge it in court and maybe say, no, it's, we're not going to go with it. So there's all sorts of ways that, you know, corruption is just bad for business. And then finally, also remember that corruption is illegal in those foreign places, too. You are paying a bribe over there. It's illegal to bribe the government official under that native local law. And that's true in pretty much everywhere in the world. So you might wind up with employees facing local law enforcement problems in that other country, which might not be a pleasant experience, depending on the actual country you're in. Like, for all sorts of reasons, just because we are pausing it now, that doesn't mean you should do it or you should take it as a green light to do it. Companies absolutely cannot think that this is going to be okay. A lot of it is about, is your tolerance for risk going to go up because the enforcement has gone away? Well, you know, has your tolerance or desire for being corrupt gone up because you're not going to get caught? That's a terrible way to go through life and go through business. You still need to take anti-corruption issues quite seriously. And I'll stop there, but that's me on my soapbox.
Hey, you know what? We love Matt Kelly on a soapbox. In fact, I would take Matt Kelly on a soapbox over any other form of Matt Kelly. So, no, Matt Kelly, editor, Radical Compliance. Really, really appreciate the insights. As you know, we like to wrap up with a closing question. So, Matt, what's a corruption-free way for us to persuade you to come back on a future podcast of Off the Books?
Oh, a corruption-free way? Well, I mean, I'll do it out of the goodness of my own heart. But I was going to say I'll take another one of those Sox Pro T-shirts that I've gotten over the years, except that does sound like a bribe. So I guess that's not valid. But I have a couple of quarter zips for the Sox Pro group, which are favorites of mine to wear in the summertime. They're nice and lightweight and very pretty colors. But I would be happy to come back on anytime to talk about these compliance issues. It's a very complicated, uncertain regulatory world right now, but a lot of times you're still going to need those basic capabilities no matter what's happening in Washington or elsewhere in the world.
Perfect. It's always good to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And thank you, dear listener, for surfing along with us. I'm Catherine Tsai. You heard Steve Soter, and this has been Off the Books presented by Workiva.
Yes, and this is actually going to be one of the last episodes that you'll hear of Off the Books presented by Workiva, because we are cooking up something brand new and we are super excited to share it with you in the future. So please stay tuned for that. In the meantime, the surf is up and we will see you on the next wave.